taking a poop. Yeah, I don't like that.
You don't like what?
I don't like the fact that the volume for the clip is way over to the right. It's because, like, when I start the show closing, right, I have to go and find this. And it's such a small slider in comparison to the screen that just the slightest movement is it, like, the slightest movement is the difference between this and that, right? It's like, I don't get the fine. I would rather the slider be the entire height so that I have more fine grain control over exactly how loud it is and that it was easier to move. Don't worry, I will be putting in an issue request for that.
Oh, good.
Anyway.
Hi, well, we got Joe.
I forgot about Joe in Dallas.
I don't see, no. Joe must be listening on the stream.
On the stream, are we still on YouTube?
And we are about to leave YouTube. So if anyone is on YouTube, you can go to pride48.com and click on chat. And you can go into the chat room. There's also a play button on the front of pride48.com.
Joe says that Daniel hates a small slider. I prefer larger sliders, but I don't hate small ones. I love all sliders, Joe.
You know, I'm going to say that I prefer average to smaller.
Yeah.
Because it's just less work.
Well, that's because you're mainly oral. You mainly...
Back in the day, I loved the fact that Maddie was so huge, but now my jaw would be hurting.
Yeah.
Like I would... Because sometimes when you're doing that, you have to work not to bite down on somebody. You know what I'm saying? You have to struggle to hold your mouth open.
By the way, can you stop the Zoom recording?
Oh, yeah. I can.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Recording stopped.
Oh, no, I already had that idea.
But, you know, I'm okay with average to small. Okay. I really am.
Good.
It's all about what they look like. It's not the size. It's
how pretty are they.
Because there are ugly ones.
Oh, yes, there are.
And I
find that people with ugly penises love to share those pictures on the scruff or the sniffies and whatever. It's like, am I supposed to be aroused by this? It looks like you've murdered someone with that thing. It's just kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like where it kind of looks like jagged and like, there's so much bush that it's like, it literally looks like a 1-inch long penis coming out of this shrubbery. It's just kind of like, God, that's fine if that's what you got, but that is not an enticing photo. There are other ways to take photos.
Yeah. I feel like some people lead with those photos of their dick, and I think, I don't know that I would lead with those photos. Like, you know, maybe you have another attribute that's better. But it always seems that the people that lead with those photos, they're the ones that you don't want them to lead with them.
Oh, so Joe is listening on TuneIn because he wasn't sure that I could join the stream on the... Yes. We are streaming our audio into the Discord.
I need to change our live streaming server to a different server.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's going to change the URL that I gave to TuneIn, and I don't even know how to find what I gave to TuneIn or how to change it. And so I still keep that Pride 48 server.
Yeah.
Even though I want to get rid of it because it's because TuneIn is pointing to it.
Yeah. I think we had that problem before, and all we did was we just messaged TuneIn support. And
yeah, I mean, I can. I just don't remember what email address I used. I think it was under me.
It doesn't even matter as long as it ends in pride48.com, and we're talking about the pride48.com feed, and it's just like, hey, we moved servers. You know, you can verify from my email address that I'm correct. You can go and listen to this feed and hear that there's something there. It's like, you know.
Oh, by the way, I found a mail service called Purely Mail.
Yeah.
That's only $10 a year.
Yeah.
And you can have as many domains and as many email accounts as you want.
Wow.
As long as you don't go over, but it's really generous quotas. Like the quotas are really generous. As long as you don't go over the quota, you can have as many domains and as many emails. So if you want a Pride 48.com email address, Yeah. I can do that.
So Lamont Cranston.
Because I just paid the $10.
Back to talking about penises. Lamont Cranston is a fan of pubes. It better not be bald. He needs hair downstairs.
I like a nice trimmed. I don't want wild. I don't want it to look like an English garden. I want it to look more manicured.
And then Joe in Dallas is saying, well, sometimes they don't have a dick pic friend to edit a photograph the dick. You know what? I've never had someone photograph my dick. I've always done my... I'm just saying there are different angles that you can take your photo from that give the illusion of it being prettier than it may naturally be. Or in this case, maybe they took a picture that makes your dick look way uglier.
Although really, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to look as accurate as possible because you don't want to meet someone and then they go, your photos are fake or something.
What are you talking about? If you've gotten to the point of hooking up with someone and they're like coming over, it's like the die is cast at that point in time. They're not going to back out.
Well, they may not back out, but they may later complain or they...
Yeah, you know. All right. But then most of them are one-time things anyway. So it's like, who cares? I'm just saying, and by the way, I am largely a bottom, so the size of my penis is irrelevant to most conversations. So I'm not talking about like that I took fraudulent photos of my penis. I didn't want anyone to come away with that...
No, I'm not saying that you did. I'm just saying you want them to be accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, you want it to look as good as possible without, you know, being completely wrong.
I feel like the thing that annoys me the most about this Kanban board feature.
Yeah.
Is... The vertical scroll is just so jarring and it already is squished horizontally. Like there's a ton of extra horizontal space over to my right that you could easily have expanded.
Yeah,
out to be
I know. Longer. I told it to make them I thought they were too wide and I told it to make them a little tighter.
But I don't, and I was just looking over at Trello and Trello does have a vertical scroll bar, but it's dark. So it doesn't just like, it doesn't look like a huge bright white strip on the side. You know what I'm saying? It follows the theme of the page, darker light. So it's more hidden. Like it's there, but it's thinner and it's more translucent. Cause that's just really jarring there.
I totally agree on that one.
Let's see. I wanted to go over to see, have you heard of Busey Bench?
No.
So, as you know, there are, but Daniel, sometimes they need, and no, the need is there, Joe. That's what I'm saying. And Joe is also asking, as a number, have you noticed an increase in the size of or shape of your cakes? Asking for the group. I don't take photos of my ass very often, so I don't know that I would notice whether it's in a, I can say
we're,
that it
we're
is
past the age of taking photos of our butts.
I would say it's certainly firmer. I mean, it's certainly Zach's ass is very, shapely now because of all his running.
I haven't taken a dick pic in years, because I mean it looks the same. Well, and no, I don't use
it just does. Like just like you have liver spots on your hands or whatever.
It really looks the same.
Yeah, it won't forever. I'm just saying
right now it does.
Here's the thing about Busey Bench. So as you know, every time a new model comes out, a new LLM version comes out, like this today, the day that we're recording this, a new Opus 5 came out today, so the newest Claude.
Well, I'll tell you what, GPT-5.6 Sol,
yes,
it's expensive because I just used it for like 3 or 4 days on Codex. Mm-hmm. and didn't realize. And I ran out of messages. I didn't even know I could run out of messages.
Yep. There is a
usage. I thought, and so it was like, you have to wait 5 days. And so I bought more credits.
Yeah, I don't understand
because
why you
I
just
didn't want to wait 5 days.
But or you could have just immediately upgraded to the $100 a month plan and then downgraded.
Well, I didn't spend $100, but
here's the thing: spent $50. If you look at what the subsidized price is, yeah, your $20 a month plan actually gives you quite a lot of credits. And I, to their credit, and I just don't think you knew this, they periodically give you reset credits and. Those are free. You click it and it resets your credits. Like you just get a, it's as if.
Well, I don't know where that shows up because I'm not seeing that.
It's on your usage. It's in the Codex app.
Oh, okay.
But the point is that, you know, even Claude, like my Claude account, they just gave us a $100 credit for API billing through September. Because they've now taken Fable away from us, except for API, whatever. Anyway, but every time a new model comes out, there are all kinds of benchmarks that they run against, right? There's different software benchmarks, practical document management benchmark, basically all kinds of different tests that are designed to judge whether a model can handle certain types of tasks, right? So some of them are geared towards software writing and some of them are geared towards. And what's happened over time is that the models have learned that they're being tested. And so they basically go look up the answers. Like they go find the test and then, you know, they encode the answers or whatever so that they suddenly are scoring much higher on these exams than they were before. So a lot of the benchmarks over time have just proven to be exploitable and bad. And then some of them have, you know, been designed that can't happen in the way that they're designed. And those are the ones that you kind of tend to pay attention to. Well, anyway, YouTuber Matt Wolf decided that he had a great benchmarking idea for image models. And it's called Busey Bench. So you can get to it at buseybench.com, BuseyBench.com. And what it is every new model that comes out, he asks it to draw a picture of Gary Busey using only SVG and not using extra markup language or anything like purely S. You can actually see the prompt that he uses, but he's very specific on how to draw these things. And then he has a whole panel of expert agents that judge how accurate they are, how good they are comparing it to an actual, you know, to actual pictures of Gary Busey. And then they're ranked. So you can see what models do the best at drawing these ugly pictures of Gary Busey. So,
okay, I have heard of that because I've seen some of these ugly photos. Yeah.
So if you go there are just some horrendous examples of it. But I got to say, I feel like...
Yeah, yeah.
I tried his prompt in the same model that gave like a horrible... Like the Gemini 3.6 Flash one looks hideous. And I tried it in Gemini 3.6 Flash today and it made a perfectly good picture of him. So it was just like, it was like one of those, you know, these are stochastic. Are you running these multiple times and picking the best result? Anyway, I just thought it was interesting.
None of them look like Gary Busey.
I mean... You can see the leaderboard, right? You can go
yeah,
to
I see it.
Where is
I,
the I went, here's the leaderboard. So the top Gary Busey image model is GPT-5.6 Terra Pro.
And it doesn't look like him to me.
GPT-5.6 Sol Pro is number 2. Gemini 3.1 Pro Preview Custom is number 3. Claude Opus 5 is number 4. Claude Opus 5
is
Fast.
Is it telling it to do like a cartoony version?
Okay. You really don't.
You said SVG.
You really don't listen.
You said SVG. I do. You said SVG, okay. But maybe click, I don't understand.
Click on. Are you there? Are you on Busey Web?
Yeah.
You know what? Oh, I can't share my screen with you because it's like, so. Click on. Are you on the leader? No. Here's the easy thing to do. Go to the leaderboard.
Yeah. Okay. I'm on the leaderboard.
Choose the top one. Just click on the picture of, you know, click on his face.
Sure. Okay. Done it.
Now you're on a detail page, right? And it tells you when it was run, how much it cost to run, how many tokens it used and everything. Now, if you scroll down, you'll see there's the prompt. That is exactly what was asked for, is that prompt.
So, yeah, but what does SVG portrait mean?
So SVG are vector graphics. So they're serial vector graphics. They're an image format that just has to do with drawing vector images. So they're not
so photos. Maybe it's impossible to get photorealistic in a vector graphic.
Oh yeah, no, you would never be able to get photorealistic in a vector graphic. Okay. Not in these resolutions. So this is solely a test of how good is the model at you know, looking at a real image of a person and then generating it in this format. SVGs are very complicated. Like, you can have layers in them and different shapes and different shades and different translucencies and stuff. So it is possible for an artist to sit down and make a really good Gary Busey, you know, cartoon face in SVG. But this is, you know, one-shotting it with a model, right?
Yeah, and it's very restrictive. The prompt is very restrictive.
It is. Yeah, well, that's because he wants to test the model, not test the model.
Right, I got it.
So anyway, I just thought it was interesting that you, you know, some of these things are pure nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was funny. You can also, when you go on a model, you can see like the history of it. Like, so like if you go on Claude Opus, if you go into that one, I think you can see the previous generations of that model. I think if you go into inspect, run.
Compare, maybe?
Yeah, maybe compare.
There's Claude Opus 6, Claude Opus 5, Flash, Gemini. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then you can filter it there by provider. So if you wanted to see how the, you know, like the OpenAI.
Just how Claude did, yeah, for instance.
That'd be Anthropic or OpenAI or just how the Google ones performed over time.
That one doesn't look like a face at all.
Yeah.
There's just a round one.
Anyway, I just thought it was like funny to say. For a second, I thought Gary Busey had suddenly become a computer savant. I was like, damn, cocaine is a magical thing. Yeah, I had a celebrity brush with Gary Busey when I was in my 20s. I had gone to Burn Steakhouse in Tampa, which is a very high-end exclusive steakhouse. And upon leaving, which is around 11 PM at night, you know, it had a lovely dinner. I think it was an anniversary dinner, had a lovely dinner. We were leaving Burns. And as we were leaving at about 11 o'clock at night, in through the front door from the porte cochere walks Gary Busey and his entourage of people following him coming into the restaurant for a table. And, you know, it was one of those like, oh, I had to move out of the way, you know, for him to, you know, and he said like, excuse me. So Gary Busey has said, excuse me to me, Daniel Brewer.
Was he nice about it or did he?
Well, yeah, he was walking into a restaurant.
Was he kind of brusque?
No, he wasn't. He was just like, oh, excuse me. And, you know, cause I had to move out of the way and he had this.
Cause there are ways.
He was very nice. He was very nice.
Or, you know.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it was very nice. And
there are different excuse me's.
Yeah, no, it was a good excuse me. So yeah. So anything else that's been fun? Yeah, I tell you this new Codex voice mode thing is kind of cool.
Well, you have some topic about a mouse cable.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk to you because you were talking about some intermittent problem that you were having that was difficult to track down.
Oh, on my 3D printer.
Yeah, on your 3D printer. And yeah. So what has been happening to me for the last month on my work machine, so on my work laptop. Now, my work laptop sits in a dock.
You won't say that for much longer.
That's true. Well, yeah, unless the new company sends me a laptop. My work laptop sits in a dock, and then it connects into my mouse and keyboard and monitor that I have in front of me all the time through a KVM. So I share a monitor, keyboard, and mouse with my laptop, my work laptop, and my desktop computer. And I press a little button, and it switches between the two computers.
Yeah.
So that is how I'm connected. So what was happening at work was in any kind of a Teams meeting, especially a Teams meeting where a screen was being shared, my mouse would stop responding.
Okay.
Keyboard still worked. The webcam, which is also plugged in through the dock and, you know, all through those same connections, like every other USB device that was plugged in where the mouse is was still working, but the mouse just stopped responding. And, you know, you wiggle it, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's just, it doesn't respond at all. It doesn't see a mouse. There's no mouse there. And then just suddenly after 40 seconds, maybe, or sometimes 20 seconds or sometimes a minute, then it would start working again. Right. And it was one of those like, what the fuck? And in the case where you're driving the presentation, it's especially frustrating because you suddenly have no mouse. You can't click on anything. Right. And what I found was, the speed run or the hack to get it to come back faster was you just unplug you pull the USB cable of the mouse and replug it back in, and then it clears it. But it's plugged into my KVM, which is way over there. So I'd have to, you know, lean over on my desk and grab that and do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had tried everything that I could. I had, you know, ChatGPT research it. I had Copilot research it. I had them give me all kinds of. Now, some of the things I couldn't do because I'm not an admin, like, so some of the USB power settings are blocked from us because we're a high trust organization. We don't allow USB drives and stuff like that. So there's a lot of restriction around USB devices. But I was able to set the one that says, like, you know, don't power off this. Don't toggle the power on this for low power situations or whatever, to turn that off on the hubs and stuff. That was the one thing I was doing. And it was less. It didn't happen as often after that, but it still occasionally happened. So I finally asked one of the LLMs. I was just like, hey, is there a USB cable I can buy that just has like a toggle on it that turns it on and off so that I could just, you know, I don't have to unplug and plug it back in. Just they're like, oh yeah, hell yeah, it's on Amazon. Here you go, it's $6. And you know, I ordered it, came in the next day. I plugged it in on Tuesday. It arrived here Tuesday morning. I plugged it in on Tuesday morning. My mouse has not locked up a single fucking time since I've plugged in this cable. And all it is I haven't toggled the cable on and off. It's just...
So whatever you did stopped it from doing whatever. There's something that cable is doing that's preventing it from...
So the Logitech mouse cable, the Logitech mouse USB connection is somehow missing one of the pins or something that the... you know, that Teams is interfering with or something. And so now going to the more complete cable that has that pin in it, makes it work. So this is really ultimately at the end of the day, it's the Logitech USB that's the problem.
Yes.
And it's
seems that way.
And what a goofy fucking thing that is. It's like, how many mice are Logitech? Like 80%, 90%? Like almost everyone has a Logitech mouse. It's like,
I have a Dell mouse, and it is the corded standard one that comes with the computer.
Oh my God.
It's just, this is just a standard wireless mouse. Yeah,
that's a Logitech.
It's not Logitech. It looks like a Logitech. Some other company. But I stopped using that one for some reason. I don't know why.
So I, as a general rule, do not use cordless mice because I'm an old school gamer and you don't want in the middle of a World of Warcraft raid for your mouse to stop working. So I always go with wired mice. And I've always been a Logitech guy. So yeah, all my mice are Logitechs.
I've never been an well, that's not true. When it comes to audio and video equipment, I am kind of an equipment guy.
Yeah.
But when it comes to computers, keyboards, and mice, I just use whatever. Like I, it doesn't matter to me. I had this little tiny little wireless thing keyboard for a long time that was cheap plastic. It was horrible. I used it for years.
That's right. Yeah, welcome, Kathy Marshall. Lamont is correct. You have missed.
You'll have to go back and listen to the recording.
Big announcement. Well, it was kind of a so-so announcement, really. Kind of a so-so kind of a thing. Maybe I'll win a contest with it next week. Lamont Cranston, you also missed. This is the segment of the show, by the way. This is the segment of the after show where we catch Kathy Marshall
up. We catch Kathy Marshall up.
The other thing that you missed, Kathy Marshall, is that Lamont Cranston made a clever reference so obscure that no one got it. And it involves Suzette.
Suzanne Plachette.
No, it wasn't that. It was Suzette. Suzette who? It was in his text. Hold on. I have to go over to the contact management section of Adam's new app and find the text and then view it there. Suzette Charles. Thank you. Thank you for indulging me in that brain fart. And if you can guess, Kathy Marshall, what does Lamont Cranston and Suzette Charles have in common? If you can guess, then I will, I don't know. I'll donate $1 to the prize fund.
Bugs in here. I don't know where they came from. I'm always having spiders. These are some kind of gnats or something.
Yeah, you were convinced that they were part of that they were a brown recluse. By the way, the after show people last week, because our after show was so long. I included two pre-shows, like that night's pre-show and the previous week's pre-show, just kind of without comment. Because remember, our original plan was we were going to introduce the fact that we were going to play some pre-shows, and then we forgot to do that because we got sidetracked on something else. And so I just threw them together with no. So Tony in Illinois was treated to...
You didn't kind of do a voiceover that said,
no,
the following clips are previously recorded, whatever. Please
for presentation
enjoy.
At this time. No, I didn't do that at all. No. So, we said goodnight chat room. We said whatever. And then there was like maybe 3 seconds of silence. And then it just starts in with a pre-show from that show that gives no context of what it is or how it got there. You have to learn it. You have to just figure it out. You have to be in the moment.
I want to make a recommendation for a sitcom.
Okay.
I'm not a huge sitcom watcher. So in general, you don't normally, you know what I'm talking about, those 30-minute, they're actually like 21 minutes long when you take the commercials out.
Yeah.
You know, laugh track.
Give me a name.
Laugh track behind them. I have been watching this show called Mom, and it has Allison Janney.
Yeah. I love Mom. Mom was great.
And I really like it. Yeah. Well, if someone has not watched it,
yep.
It's a recommendation that if you don't normally watch sitcoms, it's just kind of a light. It's not always light.
I will say this.
They deal with some non-light topics.
They do, but it is also, Mom, it ran for
7 seasons or something.
8 seasons. And Anna Faris, who is the daughter, the one of the main characters, right? Allison Janney and Anna Faris, I believe, are the actors. But they she leaves the show. So the last couple of seasons are, you know, a complete kind of rework of the show that wasn't done as well. So, but yeah, I would say the first 5 seasons.
Anna Faris leaves the show?
Yeah. I would say the first 5
to do what?
I don't know.
She's done anything.
I don't know. But I'm just saying the first 5 seasons are pretty good. And it's like, I enjoyed watching them. They're a fast watch. It's like, it's funny because the mother, Allison Janney, is this recovering alcoholic mother, and, you know, so, and goes to AA. So it's like all, a lot of the other characters are all members of her AA group. And, you know, so it's a show about tragic women, but it's very funny. And, yeah. Anyway, the point is, yeah, no, I'm aware of Mom. Yeah. I'm glad.
Okay. Well, anyone else who's not aware of it, it's good. I didn't know that she leaves. Spoiler.
I was just trying to save you.
Thanks for spoiling me. I'm sure it's in the show somehow.
I'm going to say
you've spoiled a whole plot line.
I'm going to say, Adam, that by the time you get to the point that she leaves, you will have forgotten we had this conversation, and you will not remember that she left.
I'm at the end of season two already. So
I'm just saying, been watching you won't remember tomorrow. You won't remember that I said that.
You had to throw the TV off of your sleeping porch.
Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just move it? Why did you have to throw it?
What is a sleeping porch?
In California, where they have much nicer weather than they do in Arkansas or Florida, they like to just be outside. Like they just like, they have like, in Southern California, they have like furniture out in their yard that's there because it doesn't rain for like, you know, a huge portion of the year. And so they have like nice couches and shit just like sitting out on their patios that,
but bugs get in there.
There's no bugs in Southern California.
Well,
I'm just
there
saying.
Are here. I picked up a cushion of my outdoor couch that I've got.
Yeah.
And there was a wasp nest. No, a dirt dauber nest.
Yeah.
On there. It was mud. There was a mud nest on the back of this cushion. And it even had I took something and knocked it off because I was trying to clean it up, and it opened up and I saw little baby yellow jackets or whatever they were. I mean, whatever the thing is that makes those nests, we called them dirt daubers, but I'm sure there's a different name for them. Did y'all call them that?
Yeah. Dirt daubers. Yeah.
Is that, I don't know if that was just an Arkansas thing or.
Yeah. No. Kathy Marshall. No, I'm so sorry. Lamont was not. Also Miss New Jersey. That is not the connection we were looking for. So, so sorry. but the, did you get the connection between Suzette Charles and Lamont Cranston?
No.
You see, Suzette Charles, as you know, as you remember from the show that we just recorded, was the runner-up Miss America who became Miss America. And
sure.
Lamont Cranston is the second place winner of the So-So contest.
Oh,
and the winner of the So-So contest, the winner of the So-So contest isn't responding to correspondence. So,
oh, Scotty, I see.
So
I see.
Lamont Cranston could very well be.
He is the
crowned.
Suzanne Plachette.
No, he's the Suzette Charles.
Of the Big Fatty right. Contest. Yeah, yeah. So-So question.
See,
contest.
Do you get the connection there?
Yes, yeah. I get it now. So yeah, all I've been doing this week is working on this project.
Yeah, well, good.
That's all I've been doing. I mean, other than, you know, the things I had to do, like grocery shopping, mowing the lawn.
No, I was working on a side
project for Steve.
I was working on my little project last weekend and scoping it out and doing it. And one of the first things that I wanted to do was just make a simple like solitaire game. And
so are you trying to build an add-on to Discord, or are you wanting to completely your own chat?
Here's what I thought. Do you remember Pogo?
No.
So there was this online gaming place called Pogo, and you would go there, and they had all different kinds of like solitaire games and all kinds of different, you know, match game, all kinds of little, you know, puzzle games that you just, you know, mindless little puzzle games. But they they made it fun because, you know, as you'd win the games, you'd get more points and you'd get little badges, you know, for winning things and whatnot.
Sure. So
it had a chat component to it that was really nice. And I was like, oh, well, that was always cool. And so I went back to it recently and it's just, oh, it's god awful. It's like everything is a pop-up. Everything is like, you know, like you can buy more credits with it. You know, it's just like one of those apocalyptic pop-up, you know, thing. It's like,
sure.
I just want to fucking play cards. So the other project that I've been working on is I talked to you about this a long time ago, but I have this idea of a game called Spell Dungeon, which is kind of a mashup between Scrabble and Dungeons and Dragons. And so I've been designing that, and it's a turn-based game, right? So you could do it like you would do Words with Friends or whatever. You could have multiple games going on at once, you know, with different friends and doing that. And I was like, oh, well, that would be cool, you know, because Pride 48 is definitely a community, but that would like be cool for us to have like little games that people could play while they're listening to shows or whatever, you know, like, and they could play together. Like they could play poker together or they could play, Connect Four or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Just like they could play little turn-based game, you know, little games right there together. But also carry on with turn-based games that they could follow. And it would also give a place for people to like maybe brag about their Wordle shit or whatever, and you would take it off of social media, right? So it's like you'd have a special place for it. But it was just more like building community, you know, like, hey, we have this community. Why not, you know, let them have this little place? And it would be fun to build. So that was the idea. And, you know, my initial thought was, so the way I'm doing is the MVP was just to basically have a place that you could sign into. With the authorization says to either use OAuth or the whole email, you know, registration thing. And then I was like, so the first game that I wanted to put in there was just like a really basic solitaire game, just a regular Klondike solitaire game, because it all revolves around there being a game engine that you send API requests to, and then it sends you back game board statuses so that there's no way that you could write an API to cheat on the games, right? It's not in other words, all the game happens on the game engine on the server.
Yes.
And then it feeds out. So it was this whole design system. And because we're designing it to be able to support multiple games, not just a solitaire game, but also other types of games and multiplayer games and stuff, that it was working on. So I just wanted this really simple game. Here's the thing. I have spent so much fucking time trying to get the animations correct on it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the solitaire game works fine, but it was like, you know, it was rendering weird, you know, it would do these really crazy. And no matter how many times I go through it, it's like, it's using the Phaser JavaScript. So it's a 2D, gaming JavaScript library that it uses that can do amazing, great, you know, graphics. So I know that it can do it. But it's just a matter of forcing it to, you know, like, look, I want a graphic representation of a deck of cards and I want it to move in a way that, you know, that fit, like when the card slides across the table, it should slide like a card would, you know, like,
sure.
So you should have the, you know, the physics of a card. Like, so if you put into the Discord, you know, the discard deck, that deck is persistent. Like if you take that card off, the one that was underneath it should still be there, right? It's like, it shouldn't be, you know, I want it to be realistic and whatever. And it just can't get it, man. It can't figure out, like, it'll just always do something goofy. And I just got tired of, so I'm getting back to it this weekend, but it was just such a, I think every morning, cause I could only use, because of my schedule at work, I could only really do my own stuff right before work. And then by the time work was over, I was so fucking stressed that I didn't want to do anything. So there was just like this really brief window where I could work on it every morning.
Well, now you'll have a lot of time.
True.
I mean, until you get...
True.
If you get that other job.
True.
Because that one could start immediately.
Could.
I don't know.
But I mean, in my old life, you know, here's... I'm not, you know, I am happy to do the work that I'm doing, and the new job that I'm applying for is pretty much the same job, right? To apply AI, rapid AI software development to apply automations to workflows. That's the gist of it, right? And along the way to teach people how to use the tools that they have available to them. And that's what the job is. That's, you know, and that's great. What was I going to say? Oh, but what I object to in the job that I'm doing right now, which is essentially the same job, is that they have now laid on this crazy, you know, deadline looming, you know, expectation to, you know, it's like my job used to be great because, you know, I wasn't working on like the most critical project in the history of the world and getting a constant, you know, drumbeat of like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Right. I was working on products that, you know, were more internal products that I had a traditional type of, you know, runway on. So it's like, I would like to go back to that environment, which is what this is, right? This isn't like a high pressure kind of a thing. And this is very much more, you know, teach a person to fish. But anyway, I forgot what my point was. Do you remember what my, you don't even remember what the conversation was?
I don't know what your point was. No, I know you're talking about, your job and getting stressed about all the high pressure that was being put on you and that you just wanted to go back to a role that was more.
But what was the question that led up to that? You had asked me a question about what I was going to do about something and that led into this.
Oh, I don't remember what question I asked you.
I have no fucking clue. But yeah, no, I'm not unemployed yet. I will be unemployed on the
7th. Was just saying you may have some free time unless you get this new job right away.
See, we got back to it. Adam.
Yeah.
That would be a good feature, though. And that would be a good feature is...
just remember what we're talking
constant
about?
Constant transcript. I would like a live transcript constantly running on what we are saying on the, you know... So I'd like a constant transcript running and the ability to chat with that transcript. So the ability to go like, wait, what were we just talking about? And which I think we have in Zoom. I think I can ask the agent in Zoom. Hold on. Let me see if I can ask this agent in Zoom. Wait, where is it? Where's the guy?
Neither of those things happened to Kathy Marshall.
Oh, it's up here. Request AI companion. Oh, I have to ask the host to start the AI.
She was supposed to listen to the recording, Lamont.
Yeah, it's all right. It's fine.
We left it out. We didn't tell her.
Joe and Dallas is sending
me. Now she doesn't have to go back and listen to the recording.
Joe and Dallas is sending me porn, but all of them are broken links. They're all like, this page doesn't exist. Just wanted to point that out there, Joe. Sending me broken links. This page doesn't exist.
I forgot that he used to send me stuff because I got out of Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm not in Twitter anymore. Joe do Blue Sky?
There is no service called Twitter.
I'm not in X anymore. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I think I deleted my account.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I didn't delete mine because I didn't want someone else to get it, but I haven't logged in.
But he used to send me stuff. He used to send me stuff in X.
Yeah.
But now I go to Blue Sky.
Blue skies, look at me. I had this, I don't think we talked about what Midjourney is doing. I'll give you a choice here, Adam, because I think we should probably wrap it up after this. I'll give you a choice. Do you want to talk about holy water or do you want to talk about Midjourney's ultrasound?
We can talk about Midjourney's ultrasound. I know that they have some kind of, you get into a water tank and it basically like shoots sound waves through you. And then something about the sound waves echo back off of your body and then it generates a mapping of the inside of your body. Something like that. Some bullshit like that.
So it is, it's a prototype full body ultrasound scanner called the ultrasonic CT, right? So it's supposed to go head to head with like an MRI. So you figure a typical MRI scan can take 20 to 40 minutes. And what they're saying is, hey,
and it's very expensive, isn't it? Like $1 million to get one scan or something. It's like really expensive.
No, it's not $1 million. A MRI machine may cost $1 million, but no, it's not $1 million per one. But it is expensive. At the same time, what they're saying is, oh, well, we can do a comparable scan of the body using ultrasound in like 40 seconds. So we can do a full body scan in 40 seconds instead of 30 minutes. And that means that we can do more scans per day, which lowers the cost of the scans, because essentially there's no real cost to doing the scan other than the cost of the electricity in the machine. And the machine is very expensive. So then if you can only do 12 scans a day, then you have a very limited opportunity to make back up the cost of the machine, which is why they're expensive. So, but there's a couple of problems with it. Number one, ultrasound is not MRI. So ultrasound cannot see through air. So like you wouldn't be able to get a detailed look at the inside of your lungs or whatever, because they can't see through the air that's inside your lungs. And okay. It can't see inside your bones. So it can't see the marrow inside. So it stops at the bone. Like it can't see beyond the bone.
Right. Doesn't it seem like a weird thing for them to get into? On top of AI, like we're going to do LLMs and supersonic, ultrasonic.
Yeah.
It just seems weird.
It has to do with the owner of Midjourney, who was really into ultrasound stuff or sound related stuff earlier in his life before he created Midjourney. And at the moment, you know, Midjourney is not. Like, why would you pay for Midjourney? You Nano Banana's better, you know, the other images. So it's like Midjourney is losing, you know, interest. They're going to be losing revenue as they go along. So they had money to fund this. And they're just like, oh, I'm going to go back to my own passion project. And I think that I've come up with this way. So the core invention here is a ring. So imagine, you know, a large hula hoop around you. And on that hula hoop are ultrasound emitters. Now, these are special ultrasound emitters that can both emit and hear at the same time. So it's both a sender and a receiver of ultrasound. And they put like 700 of these little scanners on this hula hoop all the way around you, right? So you've got 700 ultrasound scanners around you, completely in company, you know, completely circling you.
Sure.
And they're only aimed at a very small portion, at a very vertical section of your body, which is right below the surface of this tank of water. Because remember, ultrasound can't see through air, so you have to be in water.
It's so like a 3D scanner, basically.
It is.
So they're using ultrasound.
Right. You stand on an elevator. That elevator lowers you down into the tank. Right. And then it slowly raises you out of the tank. And that's when the scan happens, is as it's slowly raising you out of the tank, it takes the scan.
I wonder if you can feel it.
No, you can't feel it.
And I wonder if you have to be naked.
You don't have to be naked. And so they're heralding this as this great, great thing. But here's the problem with it. It generates like petabytes of data. Like it literally like 725 ultrasound scanners that are sampling every, you know, 1 millionth of a second just generates a shit ton of data. That data has to be captured in real time, which means that the back end of this machine it's a 27 server, you know, 27 servers. Have to be running on this to capture the data in real time. So that means you have to run 27 servers for every scanner. which is a huge...
That seems like an expensive proposition.
It is. And then on top of that, you have gigaquads of data that you have to then, like, you know, port across, you know, to the final image or the final rendering and stuff. So it's... they're talking about, you know, even though the machine cost for these scanners would only be like $1 million per unit compared to, you know, an MRI machine, which is tens of millions, they're not factoring into the accounts that you have an additional, you know, several hundred thousand dollars in servers and, you know, management and software and things like that. So it's not as big of a cost savings as it was. But I just thought it was interesting that it is, you know, the technology that they're using and the fact that they're pivoting to do this is really cool. But at the same time, I just don't get it. I don't get what, because they're like trying to sell this as a lifestyle thing. Like, hey, get your scan done every month. Like you can detect things early in your body. You know, if you get your scan every month, you can detect tumors.
Well, if it detects the same sorts of things that an MRI does and you can do it for much cheaper, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? Because your body produces things all the time that are inert and not things that you need to worry about. And now you're just going to draw attention to all of these, you know, every single, like your body does lots of weird shit all the time. And it's only really ever looked at when there's a problem. But it's like, if you were to look at it when there's not a problem, you're going to see shit that like, oh, that looks like a tumor. And it's like, you know, we have cell masses all the time that are, you know, they're benign and they dissipate it's like your body just produces weird shit. And some of it is just not stuff you need to worry about. And, you know, to take more measurements isn't really going to solve anything here. You aren't going to be able to detect the difference between cancer and, you know, whether it's malignant or benign. And in some cases it's, you know, it's not something you should worry about. Anyway, I don't know. I just don't get the model. I just don't get who would want to, it's going to cost you about $200, they're saying, per scan.
Rich people.
So, like, you're going to do that every month?
To a rich person, that's nothing. Yeah, for a rich person, they're just like,
yes, thank you.
Pocket change.
Kathy Marshall, it's a technology searching for a problem. Yeah, exactly. It's that's exactly what it is. It's like, yeah, it's a really cool technology, and there's probably a lot of really cool things you could do with it, but why didn't you maybe look more into the traditional ultrasound market, like being able to do, like, you know, ultrasounds for, you know, in hospitals and stuff at a much faster and cheaper rate by doubling your, you know, quintuple, whatever, massively increasing the number of simultaneous sensors, right? Like those little ultrasound things that you see on ER or whatever, when a pregnant woman and the, you know, it's that little scanner that they're pushing right up against their skin.
Yeah.
That's just a single receiver, right? That's just a single transmitter receiver. So it's like, imagine 725 of those, you could get a much fuller image instead of that one view. So yeah, you could do like a 3D rendering of the fetus being formed and learn some very valuable information about, you know, malformations there or whatever. But just to sell it as kind of like a social thing of like, hey, come down to our scanning salon and, you know, get your scan today and hang out with other people.
I don't know. There are a lot of rich people really into their health.
Joe in Dallas sent me that.
Oh.
And
I was like, do I have porn going on? Playing somewhere that I don't realize.
The initial frame of it, I'm like, is that Michael Cantaloupe? And it's like, because it looked like his face. But I can report that it is not, in fact. I mean,
you know, those stars for Universal Studios, they're really big into the porn.
Yeah, big in the porn. I can report that it is, in fact, not Michael Cantaloupe. I didn't even talk about my D&D game, but... that's right. It's only once a month, so I can talk about it next time. Okay. Let's see. No, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't know. I think that's a show, Adam. I think we've done our due diligence.
I think you have several issues you need to put The smaller ones, if you make them fairly granular, I can do them pretty quickly. If you lump a bunch of stuff together and like, if you could build an entire system to do this.
Okay, I'm going to take.
But if they're little small things.
I'm going to pull out the Discord clone. Maybe we could do it with APIs. Maybe if you had a way to exfiltrate the live audio from your system, then the chat system could just pick it up and pipe it in to the chat room, right?
So you're saying a way to join the voice channel via API so that we can control it from this interface.
Right. And that's why it seemed like it was more of a you product than a me product, because my chat room thing wouldn't really have, we're not dealing with the audio.
But then that brings me back to having to clone what Zoom is doing or do WebRTC or something.
No.
Like
it's Discord. Yeah. I was just talking about a public chat room, you know.
But Discord. To pull the audio, my app has to be recording the audio.
Yeah, or using the same SDK API that you're using for Zoom. Like, in other words, you can take the audio from Zoom with the APIs.
And anybody's allowed to do that, or do I have to?
No,
like,
you
sign
have
up
to. You
a...
no, you have to join their developer. You know, you have to get an API. You know, like, you have to register your application and say what you're doing, and there's a cost to it if you exceed a certain number of users, right? So, like, if your app is being used by more than, you know, thousands of people or whatever, there's a cost to it. I don't know all the terms, but I mean, I know how some of these things work. Let's find out, Adam, shall we? Let's demo this at the same time. I'm going to bring this up here. And I'm going to see if he's going to be there. Hey there, are you hearing me okay?
Yep, loud and clear.
Okay, hold on just a second. I have a job for you.
Okay, take your time.
Okay, I think that muted him. You can't hear me, right? Okay, cool.
I hear you.
Yeah, I know you can hear me. I was just like, what was I going to ask him? What were we
about
just talking
the
about?
Zoom API and how much it costs.
Yeah. Got it. Hey, I have a question for you. Can you find out if I was developing an application and I wanted to include video and audio, you know, real-time communication, would I be able to incorporate Zoom into my project? Do they have APIs and an SDK that I could incorporate? And if not them, aren't there other services that do, like, I think maybe I want to say Twilio. Anyway, can you look that up and give me an answer?
Sure. I'll check those options for real-time video and audio.
Okay, cool. Just speak up when you get an answer.
Zoom has a video SDK.
Yeah.
It says if you are using Zoom's video SDK to build a completely custom video,
you can embed real-time video and audio. Zoom offers two paths: the meeting SDK, which embeds a Zoom-branded meeting, and the video SDK, where you can create your own look and feel within your app. Twilio Video is another solid option with APIs and SDKs for web and mobile, and it gives you a fully custom experience. If speed matters, Daily is quick to launch. If you want more control or even self-hosting, LiveKit is worth a look.
So LiveKit is what I'm using right now.
Okay.
But it's WebRTC, but it's hosted.
Okay.
But it's $50 a month if I want to use their paid plan. So it's kind of expensive.
Well, it depends. Like, at what threshold do you have to use their paid plan?
It caps you at a certain number of minutes of usage, and then you have to, then they cut you off. I don't remember what the amount is, but it's, I think I'm going to reach it just in testing.
So, and the $50 a month is unlimited, or the $50 a month is it metered?
I'll have to research it.
Yeah,
I'll have to look and see what that would cost versus using Zoom's, because this Zoom one says you get 10,000 free minutes every month with the Zoom SDK.
Yeah. And there's also ones with the Zoom APIs that you can just embed Zoom. In other words, it's up to them to have their own Zoom accounts. Like, they just log in to the Zoom account and it's in your interface, but it's still using their usage number, you know, their Zoom account, be that free or hosted or whatever. So, and then that would cost you nothing, right? You're just giving the opportunity. Hey, if you want to use Zoom, you can use Zoom. If you want to use Google Meet, you can use Google Meet. If you want to use, you know, and it's up to you to have the accounts with those. Otherwise, you're going to have to charge a monthly fee that is outside of what a lot of podcasts, most podcasts are not going to want to do what we do. Most podcasts are going to record once a month and they're going to, you know, do an interview with somebody and, you know, all they want is an audio and video recording of what they did. They don't care about a live audience. They don't care about any of that stuff. That's a typical podcast, right? So it's like, you know, I don't know that you would want to host all that.
Right. I don't want to host all that.
That's what I'm saying. So I feel like, you know, just embedding it and letting them deal with it, that piece of it, right? You could still grab the files. You can still, you know, get the recordings and let them, you know. Ultimately, are you going to the point of production? Like, ultimately, are you, like, going from, okay, now here's the, because what you've done now is just the pre-work or the pre-show and the actual running of the show. Then what about post-show? Are you going to do coordination of file uploads and mixing?
I don't know, like creation of RSS feeds or?
Yeah, what? You could even tie that in. Like you'd even.
The problem with going into the production is I feel like the editing of the audio and video would be a very hard thing to build.
Oh, yeah. You know, you wouldn't want to do cloud. So here's what I would want. Think about this. It's at the end of the night. I've got 6 audio tracks in front of me, right? I've got your 3 and my 3. I've got to synchronize them. I've got to get them all into the same project and get them synchronized so that I can then edit and level them, right? Anything that speeds that process along is think of it this way. When I had Sebastian do my after show stuff, it was just one step at a time until now it's just a one thing. It's like, hey, can you make the after show for me? He already knows how to look at the transcript, compile the time codes, figure out where the after show starts in the Craig recording, splits it out, does like a little 30-second rewind, puts it into a FLAC file, gives it to me. I then pull that into Audacity and just double check to make sure where it should start and make sure that, you know, it looks okay. I levelate it and I post it, right? I could even have him levelate and post it for me if I wanted to. But all of that coordination just saves a lot of time because I used to have to go and try to find where the after show started, right? Because the recording is of the entire evening, right? So where does the after show start? And, you know, oh, wait, no, was this the show? Was this the after show? I don't remember. You know, it became tedious to do. So I feel like any kind of tedium we can take out of this process would be excellent. So in the case of like a typical Riverside company, let's say Pod is my co-pilot. So in the case of like Pod is my co-pilot, what they would want would be after the show ends, the host that's going to do the editing would be able to grab the recordings to download them. So they could then make a folder on their local computer, click this, and it downloads all of the correct files, you know, into that folder. And then they do their editing. They do that workflow. They do, you know, whatever. And then they render it down to an MP3. And then you're just like, okay, like now give me back the MP3. And then you take that, post it, do whatever. Right. So I'm not advocating you add, you know, the editing piece is still done so different between sites that there's not going to be a way for you to edit, you know, to centralize that. Unless people just want to take exactly what they did and put it out, right? Then you could absolutely just mix their files together, levelate all the files, mix them together, and, you know, MP3 it, right? If they don't want to do any editing, if they just want to say, I mean, this is a live show and we're going to take it from the start to the end, right?
Yeah.
You could certainly do that.
Well, I definitely wanted to take the piece that you're doing while you're doing the show. Mm-hmm. And put that in a really nice interface and say, okay, all your contact is there, your soundboard is there, your trivia contest, your all of that is there.
Yep.
Now the recording of the stuff was a separate thing, and I'm like I said, I'm doing an experiment. The only reason I wouldn't is because of how challenging I think it is going to be to do that well, is what I'm saying. I'm one person, you know, and I'm vibe coding.
Yeah.
I feel like with audio and video, you need to be an expert to do a good
job
at that.
That's why I was saying use the Zoom API, right? So it's like if you do the Zoom API, then all you're talking about doing is grabbing the audio files from Zoom. It's just like, because Zoom records each side, right? So it's just like at the end of the thing, when they say, I'm done with the show, grab the files, you just use that same API. They're already logged into the API, right? So it's like you just say, oh, give me my file. And then, you know, each host grabs their file and then, you know, puts it on your server. And then you can mix them and give them an MP3, right?
It's interesting. I'll have to talk to ChatGPT more because it's saying it wouldn't recommend Zoom for the
Or Twilio. I know that we built a whole product, a whole telemedicine product around the Twilio video audio thing. So it's like you could use that as well. Right. But I just feel there's a lot. The reason I was saying Zoom or one of those or like Google Meet or something like that is that they can handle their own subscription to that. That you're not going to pay the usage on it.
Right. I'll do some research.
Anyway, good show, long show. Good to chat with you there, my friend. Thanks everyone in the chat room for hanging
congratulations
out
with us. On your
unemployment.
Unemployment.
I'm feeling good about that. Feeling good about the unemployment. I have to, where am I going tomorrow? I'm going somewhere for lunch tomorrow. Oh, we're going to Sanaa tomorrow for lunch. So, going to have bread service over at Sanaa.
Once you're, you know, if you don't get this other job and you have a bunch of time off, we could take a little 3-day cruise.
A 3-hour tour.
I'm like, hey, spend some money now that you're unemployed.
That's right. That's my plan. Unemployed, run up debt, and then die.
Use that sweet, sweet savings.
That's right. Sweet, sweet. Be sure to bring a starlet and a professor. Oh, yeah, my 3-hour tour. Yeah. Anyway. We'll be here next week.
We'll be here.
Join us 10 p.m. Eastern time right here on most of these Pride 48 stations. And maybe, just maybe, I'll have the first version of the gaming room working. And
next week, for sure, if I have this experiment ready, we're going to not to do the show, but like maybe the after show or something.
Yeah.
We need to connect and see if this WebRTC will work.
Sure.
Either if it's Zoom or the other thing, whatever it ends up being.
Yeah. Yeah. We can do that.
All right.
Good night, Adam.
Good night.
Good night, chat room. We appreciate you. And we'll be back some other time. Good night.